And you are listening to Let All Together Praise Our God. It's a Christmas hymn, and it's all about Jesus. And you are listening to that on this Tuesday, December the 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2014. I'm Tom Baker, your host for this day. And because of the holidays coming up, we won't be on the air Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We'll be back next Monday to talk about a Bible passage that says you are actually saved from before the foundation of the world. We'll take a look at that next Monday. But right now, we're going to take a short examination of the hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God, and tie it in with another Bible passage that is being used for the first Sunday after Christmas. Yesterday, we looked at Galatians chapter 4 and the whole concept of what it means to be under the law. Today, we're going to be taking a look at Isaiah 61 because it fits right with this hymn. Now, the hymn has seven stanzas, but we're only going to take a look at two of them. The first one is about its humiliation, and the second one ties in with Isaiah chapter 61. So let's try it. Stanza 3, within an earth-born form, he hides his all-creating light. To serve us all, he humbly cloaks the splendor of his might. Now, even though there are 1, 2, 3, 4 Bible verses that this hymn is based on, there are a lot more, and the one that I'm thinking of isn't even listed. It's a hymn that is clearly based, this particular stanza, on Philippians chapter 2, where it talks about that God humbled himself in order to become a human being. Now remember, when Jesus became a human being, that's called his incarnation, his human nature at that point did not share in the divine attributes. That means that as a human being, he was not all-knowing, he was not all-powerful, and he was not all-present. But in his divinity, he still was. Therefore, when we talk about he humbled himself, it means that God took upon human nature so that things happened to him that normally don't happen to God. Like he got hungry, he got sleepy, he felt pain, and of course, he died. Wow. That's simply not part of divinity. Yet, after his ascension, we are told that the attributes of the divinity are now shared with the humanity. In his humanity, Jesus knows all things. There is not a separation of the divine nature from the human nature. Jesus isn't sitting up in heaven somewhere at the right hand of God in his humanity, and he is everywhere in his divinity. No. In both his divinity and humanity, he is everywhere. He knows all things. He is all powerful. Therefore, this has tremendous repercussions in regard to the Lord's Supper. If you think that the humanity of Jesus is no longer here on earth, then you can't possibly be receiving the true body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament. So, you see, false doctrine does have consequences for other doctrines. You know that game where you put up little rectangular items and you put a long line of them and then you push the first one and it pushes them all over? Is that dominoes? Something like that. At any rate, this is what happens with false teaching. For example, there are a lot of people who don't believe Genesis 1 and 2. That is the history of how the universe came into being by 6-day, 24-hour creation. Well, guess what? Many of those people now no longer believe any other supernatural events, such as a resurrection from the dead, or that Jesus did miracles when he was here on earth. They have all kinds of naturalistic explanations for that. In fact, I just listened to a television program that was trying to explain the 10 plagues. The blood that the Nile became instead of water was explained away by some kind of fungus, some kind of plant, and that it's a poison plant, but it grew so much in the Nile that it turned to red. People thought it was blood, and of course, fish died. The second plague then occurred because the frogs jumped out of the water and invaded the land. And so one after the other of the plagues, they would go through and attempt to show how this wasn't God at work in a supernatural way. This was just natural things occurring, and the people interpreted them as the work of God. Well, we don't agree with any of that because, of course, the historical record that these individuals show concerning the Bible is in contradiction to the clear words of Scripture. Once God speaks, that settles it. So, this third stanza is talking about the distinction between Christ's humiliation and his exaltation. That's all what Christmas is about. We often think of Christmas or the birth of a baby boy. That's really a joyous time. But remember, the wise men, one of them brought embalming fluid. Can you imagine being a mother and getting embalming fluid for your baby? And later on, of course, when they took Jesus to the temple for the sacrifices, Simeon talked about that there would be a sword that would pierce through Mary. So, through the power of the Holy Spirit, not only the prophets of old, but the prophets and prophetesses like Anna in Luke were told about this is the Savior of the world. But he becomes the Savior by dying on the accursed tree. Now, it's stanza 4 that I want to put together with Isaiah 61. And Isaiah 61 isn't even mentioned as one of the texts, but I think it's quite appropriate. Let me first read the stanza. He undertakes a great exchange, puts on our human frame, and in return gives us his realm, his glory, and his name. What was that talking about? Wes Reimnitz is always eager to talk about the glorious exchange that takes place at baptism, where we exchange our sin with God's righteousness. And that's what this stanza is talking about. The great exchange, he puts on our human frame. So that's the part that God does in order to die on the cross. And because of that death on the cross and that resurrection from the dead, in return, he gives us his realm, his glory, and his name. What does that mean? Well, we now, because we're in Christ, are kings in this world. That's what it says in Revelation chapter 5. The angels, the 24 elders, all give honor to the Lamb, who has come to take away the sin of the world, because he has redeemed us to our God and made us priests and kings before our God. Also, we get his glory. Now, when the word glory in regard to God is mentioned, that means the presence of God. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not Christmas presence, but his presence, his being there. In fact, is that not what Emmanuel means? God with us. So that in baptism, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in Jesus is within you. You are a child of the Heavenly Father. You have been adopted into the family. And therefore, you have God's presence within you at all times. This is why when sometimes even a Lutheran will say, I don't feel close to God, my response always is, well, who moved? Surely God has not. because he has promised not to move. Okay, how does this stanza fit with Isaiah chapter 61? Well, let me read beginning with verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. And then the next phrase even explains it in a way that all of us understand. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. That's Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Now, what is this saying? When you are born, you're born in sin. You're born being unrighteous. In fact, that occurs even with your conception, because you inherited the sinful nature of Adam and Eve. Well, what God does is that he redeems you. You are no longer a member of the kingdom of Satan, but you become a member of the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people don't understand that when the Bible talks about parables that Jesus gave, some of them start off, the kingdom of God is like, but others do start, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, we're not talking about the heaven that you're going to after judgment day. We're not even talking about the heaven you're going to after you die and in the spirit you are present with God, looking forward to the day of judgment when your body will be restored to your spirit. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven that is right here on earth. And what do we call that? We call it the Holy Christian Church. The Holy Christian Church is that kingdom of heaven that you're in right now. You have begun your eternal life, moving from death to life, at your baptism, or whenever the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, moved you to begin to trust the promises of God. So, the reason we like going over the hymns assigned for the following Sunday, and this one is for the first Sunday after Christmas, is because we want parents at home, if they have children, to phone the church ahead of time, ahead of the service, and ask, what are the hymns that have been assigned for this coming worship service? And when they tell you that, hopefully that you have a hymnal at home, you can go through the hymn with the children, so that when they get to church, they're not confused as to what they're singing about. So, just taking a look at these two stanzas, within an earthborn form he hides. And you can explain to the children, that means when Jesus was born, he didn't have a halo over his head. He wasn't glistening white like at his transfiguration. No, his all-creating light was hidden. And he did that, as the verse goes on, to serve us all, he humbly cloaks the splendor of his might. And he does that because as a human being, he needs to be like us so that when he dies, he can die for our sins. You see, if Jesus had ever sinned, then he couldn't have died for our sins. He would have had to die for his own sin. But he was perfectly righteous. By the way, that's the robe of righteousness that you get. You don't get his divine glory, his robe of righteousness as a divine individual. You get that robe of righteousness that came about because of his obedience to everything that happened here on earth. He never disobeyed the Father. He was always obedient to the point where we can consider him sinless. As the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's how you explain to children stanza 4. He undertakes a great exchange. Now, children might not understand the word exchange, so give an analogy. Say, Well, if somebody came to you and they had a marble set and you liked their marbles, and there was one marble you really liked and you said, boy, can I have that one? And they will say, well, I'll make you a deal. You give me those two and I'll exchange my marble for those two smaller ones. Well, you might make that deal. Well, God did a glorious exchange. He didn't take small marbles. He took your sin upon himself. He paid the punishment. And that's why that glorious exchange took place by him putting on our human frame. And in return, what does he give us? He gives us his realm, his glory, and his name. Now, you might want to explain that to the children. Giving us his realm means nothing can really hurt you. The devil is defeated. And therefore, by turning to Jesus, yes, you may go through difficult times here on earth, but you will not be defeated in Christ. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But it says you also get his glory. Well, that's his presence. And his presence is there within you. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is always motivating you to do not just good works, because even an atheist can do a good work for the wrong motivation, but to do fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is described as a good work in line with God's will, but out of a motivation of love for Jesus Christ. Only Christians can bear fruit of the Holy Spirit. Unbelievers can't, for a very simple reason. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So, the last item, the realm, the glory, and his name. Well, when did you get the name? At baptism. You were baptized, and I like the translation, not in the name of the Father, but into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So you have become a child of God, and this is where we always talk about the two different kinds of children, and we're not talking about male or female. We're talking about that child which, what? Has been begotten. That's a child of the parents. But in God's case, there was only one begotten, and that's none other than Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. So how are we children? By adoption. We're adopted, and therefore we're adopted into the name of God. That's why we call ourselves Christians, because we follow Jesus Christ. And we've said this a number of times. The word Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. It means anointed one. So when the Old Testament people were looking for the Messiah to come, then he came in the person and work of Jesus the Christ. Christ, therefore, is not a name. It's a title. His name is Jesus, and sometimes Jesus of Nazareth. A lot of times they would put where they were from to distinguish the various Jesuses. And a number of people would be made named Jesus. That was a pretty common name. It simply means he saves us. It's actually from the Hebrew Joshua. There are three Jesuses in the Old Testament. Remember, the Jesus of our salvation is prophet, priest, and king. Well, the prophet was Hosea, which comes from the word Joshua. And then the king was Joshua, who, of course, ruled over Israel after the death of Moses. And then we also have a priest during the time of the Babylonian captivity, when the people were permitted to come back to rebuild the temple. Guess what? One of the names of the priest was Joshua. So, Jesus fulfills prophet, priest, and king in himself. He's the prophet because he speaks forth the word of God as he knows it, as he has heard it. He's king because he holds the whole world in his hands. And he's priest not in the sense of making a sacrifice, but by becoming a sacrifice for us. That's really quite amazing, that Jesus died so that we will never really die. I say that a lot of times, and sometimes I'm questioned on that. But we're going to die, aren't we? Well, there's two kinds of deaths. There's the physical death, which everyone goes through unless you're here on the Day of Judgment. But then there's the spiritual death. When we talk about that you are never going to die, we're referring to that spiritual death of being in hell forever and ever and ever. No, that will not happen to believers in Christ. We instead will never really spiritually die, but we will live and we will live eternally. And that occurs because of what God has done for us in giving us some of the greatest good news that the world has ever heard. So, this Christmas, we pray that you'll have an opportunity to share with others the true meaning of this time, that God became incarnate in order to exchange with our sins his righteousness. And that's why we are righteous in the sight of God, because of the greatest good news that has ever been heard. That's what this hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God, talks about. And we'll listen to a little bit more of it at this time. Now, if you're listening to this program, this is Tuesday, of course. On Sunday, I'm going to be preaching at Emmanuel Olivet. That's 9733 Olive in St. Louis. So you go to Lindbergh, turn right on Olive, and go about, you go by one church that's not us, and then less than a half a mile away from Lindbergh is Emmanuel Olivet. At 5 o'clock on Saturday, and then on Sunday at 8 in the morning for the first worship service, and then later on in later in the morning at 10:30. So, I'm Tom Baker. I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas. We pray that you'll have the wonderful good news of hearing Jesus Christ this week in a number of Christmas services. Yes, I'm also going to be at the evening service at 11 p.m. at Emmanuel on Wednesday. That's Christmas Eve. It's a service of songs and readings, and we certainly hope that you will be in attendance. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.